Heaven, we thank you, Lord, for life, life eternal, for joy, joys unspeakable and full of glory. The Lord you have given unto us, O Lord, in this life as we make our journey, Father, to that land beyond the sky, beyond the blue, O Lord, even to that place where we know as Mount Zion, where there is a city that is built without hands, O Father. And we are journeying towards that place. We are looking, O Father, to that day when Jesus Christ, our Lord, will come again and just to change our body. Just to change, O Lord, we know this body must be changed from mortality to immortality, Lord. And those that are already corrupt down in the earth, they shall rise up unto incorruption, Father. So, Father, Lord, we look to that day and we thank you for life. Yes, Lord. For that which you have granted us, O Lord, to breathe yet another day, may there always be this peace and joy within our heart, and that, Lord, we know you as our living God and our Savior and our Master and Lord in this life. Father, right now, Lord, as you approach that word once again, a little here, a little there, Father, may you just open it up to us, to our understanding, asking this, that you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you may be seated. Now first of all, there are a few things I want to say. When we are here coming to the church, I hope that you don't do your homework in this church. You don't do your business in the church while we are worshipping the Lord or fellowshipping or listening to the word from the Lord. Switch off your phone. I don't think that is important unless that you are a doctor and you are, you know, though you may be a doctor, you may not, may be on standby. You need to have phone on, that's fine. Alright, so that anybody call you, you may go and leave this place and go and help deal with that person's life. But I don't know, I know that there's no doctor here. Neither is there anybody with an emergency, unless maybe Brother Jimmy, you have on standby duty, and then if there's a fire out there or there's a problem leakage, they'll call you. Alright, maybe like Brother John, if the system problem went down, they'll call you right immediately, yeah. Alright, just put it on vibrator. So we are here because, you know, one thing, brother and sister, you know, all these years that I want to be strict with every one of us here, because I'm not forcing you by authority, but I want you to know the authority of God so that we are here. When we fellowship, we come here to fellowship. When we come here to worship, we come here to worship. When we come here to learn the word of God, we do that. Alright? So I want to say also this other thing is that, you know, something, many times that, you know, we preacher, we do not know what we're going to preach. And when you finish a certain subject, and the next Sunday is going to come, and Monday I will be start thinking, Lord, what am I going to preach? What shall I preach? You know, you either pray about it, meditate what the Lord wants me to preach. So I was just thinking about all that which you have done. And especially, for example, you want to know whether it's a coincidence or not. A lot of things are not, maybe coincidence to a lot of people. But I believe that if God is in the picture, if God is in our life, guiding us and showing us something, if we are precious in His sight, I believe we are the apples of His eye. We are the blood of Christ. So, you know, He finds us worthy. So He dealt with us, He dealt with us the way that He is doing all these many years. Now, for example, the message that I preach on, the Rapture series, which started last year in September, all the way down to December, ended on the last day of December, last Sunday of December, and then the following January, we have this message to follow the Rapture series on the earthquake issue, right? What's going to happen in California and all that. Now, I want to say this, that when we started off, it's a long series, because I just want to take the time to open it up to, first of all, bring about the errors of the denominational teaching, the errors of opinions, and how the people look at those things. How come there's a lot of hubs and a lot of excitement about Christ coming? But a lot of people get excited, yes, but when it comes to the real things of what the Bible is teaching, many are blind to it. So all those times from September, we teach all the way, but just think what happened in December or November. While we're teaching this, Brother Tony, Sister Lorena, Rohana, Brother Pierre's brother, and his wife. You know, they had a dream, a vision. Other, you know, the one they have in 2014. Then they had a few others that follow in the month of November, if you have seen the chart. Now, I don't think coincident that they have these visions and what the Lord is showing them. And yet we are preaching about the end time and what's going to come, about the rapture, how it's going to take place, what event we are looking at. Are those things coincident? After we finish that, now, here we are. Now we are on the subject on the book of James. And I titled it, The Talk and the Walk. Now, we can talk all about our Christian, say, oh, I'm a Christian with this and that, this and that. I will believe this and that. What about our walk? That is the thing about it. You know, we are here like a kibbutz, we might say, like the, you know, we must have a sense of belonging. If the church people don't have a sense of belonging, then we are in trouble. The church is not an organization. Now, people want to believe there is an organization. The church is not an organization. They say it's like an organization. It is, if you take it as an organization. But the church is an organism. What's the difference between an organism and an organization? An organization is this. If you have different departments, that's what an organization is. Is that right? You have this department doing that, and all these things. If there's some problem in some department, it affects the organization. And some people don't like it, so they leave and resign and they go to another company. And that's what an organization would do. Because they don't care about the other part of the department. You see, because this failed, so we don't care. We live. But an organism is not so. Your body is an organism. If some part of the body is affected, do you think that your other part of the body can live just like that? If it does, something is wrong. That's why the body of Christ must be a reality. That's why James is talking about this. Because he was very, very close to the Jewish people, the 12 tribes. They are his brethren, and they have come to the faith of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They have seen it, you know, and of course, they're still being Jewish. They have the Jewish mind of their own religion and how they should walk, the way that the Pharisees may walk, the way that the Sadducees may walk, you know. But when they came to this truth, and James was very concerned, he making them to realize there are certain things that as Christians we should do. You know, the right thing that we should do. You see. And that is exactly what it is. Like Israel, when they came back, as you see in that video, how that they can make the land grow back again like Eden. It's because every one of them has a sense of belonging. So this is what I want you to realize, that we need to have a sense of belonging. A denomination church outside, they are out there, they have a sense of belonging to their system, because if they are Methodist, there will be a sense of belonging to the Methodist churches. You know, or the Baptist or whatever, they have a sense of belonging, sure. We need to have a sense of belonging. But most of all, like people have a sense of belonging to their company, but this is the church is an organism. So we, the body, if there is a part of the body that is not functioning right, the rest of the body will have to try to do something about it. You see, for example, you're out there, you know, climbing a tree and you fell down, and all by yourself you fell down and you broke some part of your body and you cannot walk. Maybe your leg or your hip is already, hurt. So you cannot stand up and you cannot walk. So what do you think the rest of the body will do? The body will function and your head will just crawl. You know, drag your leg to a place where you can call for help automatically. This is what we talk about. And this Watchman Nee. Now, I want you to know if you have read some of Watchman Nee's book. How many of you have read Watchman Nee's book? Yes, you should have. Now, Watchman Nee is a great preacher. All right, you know, before the time of Mao Zedong. And he was arrested and he was put into prison and he died in prison for his faith. You know. But the Watchman Nee had a book called The Body of Christ, a Reality. Is the body of Christ a reality? Do you have a sense of belonging in this body of Christ as a reality? You know what I'm talking about? It's not an organization, it's a reality, it's a body. You see? You understand that? So, when we look into this book of James, The church is going, you know, our fellowship here has gone through last 3 years or so with a lot of problems. Alright. And in the past, you know, in the past, many years ago, since 71 when we started the ministry and the fellowship, 5 years later, 10 years later, a lot of things happened. You know. It wasn't a few years, just only a few years, but even less than 3 years, I would say, that a brother left the church because, you know, because of the wife, you know, disagreeing with the words of what Brother Branham said, because, you know, it's a traditional thing to her that the Brother Branham was a false prophet. So the brother left the church and followed the wife, or the girlfriend over that time, we would say. Then according down the line, of course, the other they came, and the wife couldn't, I know the sister, you know, one thing is easy for us men perhaps than for the sister, the woman, to have a standard in the gospel. You see, the sister must have long hair, okay, no makeup, no jewelry, you know, like people are doing out there, because the Bible tells us that, you know, there's no mocking, don't be like Jezebel putting all these pins on your faces and things like that, jewelry and earrings and stuff like this. You know, and dressed like a woman, as a woman. But of course, some, they came all the years, they may be with us for maybe, you know, after a year, and they leave. Because why? The wife couldn't accept this sort of thing. It's very hard for her. You know, she go to the office, she want to put makeup, she has to put makeup, everybody says a plain jean, and so on. So, the wife cannot take it, the husband had to follow the wife as well. So they laugh. So over the years, these are the things that happen. And there's a brother that left also because, you know, over the issue of fellowshipping in a certain place, in a home, a HDB flag, and many, many other reasons they have. And I know that this gospel, this truth that we have is not a ritual thing that we follow. It's something that is real. There's no whether the Bible is real or not to you. Is the Bible truth real to you? But not like a denominational organization. They have their own teaching. It's okay for you to do this. It's okay. So, yeah, when God said so, it's not a matter of whether you can go against it and say it's all right. You can take this way or take that way. You know. So I believe, brothers and sisters, that if we are looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't think that the rapture is for everybody. That's why the church is split today. You know, the whole world, the people are Christian, the churches. Many believe that there will not be a rapture. They are going through into the tribulation and face the Antichrist. There are those who believe that the rapture will take place only in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel. Before the wrath of the Antichrist is poured out, then the rapture will take place. Some say, of course, it's pre-tribulation rapture. But the other thing is that many of them do not believe in partial rapture. They say the partial rapture is nonsense. You know what I mean by partial rapture? And my friend used to say to me, he said, how can it be that you believe that only a small group of Christians will be taken up and the rest of the Christians are left upon the body? How could Christ take only half a part of the body of his body? Not all his body. So you see, the thing is that that is the reasoning of a man that if you want to take your wife, take the whole body of your wife. Don't take the head only or the shoulder only. You know what I mean? We are not talking about this body. We are talking about the preparation. And we know the Bible shows us the truth. Is it difficult for us to see the 10 virgin? It's not a partial thing. Huh? That the wives have enough oil and went into the marriage, the one that are not wise, the foolish one, came in late, too late. When they found the oil, they came in too late. And of course, the door is shut. What does that mean? Well, too many of them interpret that the foolish virgin, they are unbelievers. They are not believers. You see. So, the people have we interpret that way. But what about even the tops and the shadow? Brother Bram show us the top and shadow. And I know that the only way we can understand scripture many places are through tops and shadow, and that's why Jesus used parables. What about Enoch that was taken before the flood came? And what about Noah went through the flood or over the flood in the ark? There is one that is taken away, the other one go through the flood, the great deluge. The judgment, that is to say. We can see that. What about God called them out of Egypt? All of them came out, sure. I mean, they all came out. All kinds of mixed multitude. And all kind of Christians in the world, they said, the people say they are Christian. But are they really Christian? The thing about it is this. And there we saw about last week, Jesus said, if you believe, if you love me, keep my commandment. Keep my word. That's what the Bible is, what God desired. So 2-3 million people came out of Egypt. For all those that this unbelief, because they could not believe going in, they were out there in the desert to die. And only two of them, 20 and above, got in. The rest all perished. And those 20 and below were allowed to go in. You think about it. You think God, His grace and love. But how do people treat His grace and His love? That is the thing about it. You see? Jesus Christ even have to rebuke Peter. You know? After all, there is truth. Anybody in rebuke, he asks his disciples, you're going away from me also because I told you the truth. Am I your enemy because I told you the truth? Are you going away too? You know, honestly, now, you don't know where he's going to go. Say, you are the only, how can we go away? You are the only one who have eternal life. So you understand, there are people, thousands, that heard Jesus preach, but here you are the 12. And Jesus said, you are going away too? And truth is something that people find hard to accept. Truth hurts. Truth may be an offense to you. But it shouldn't be, because why? Truth is truth. And truth will hurt us when we hear that, yes, this is true. I've done this wrong, I've not done this right. And we have to be mature enough to handle the word of God. After all, we are Christian for all these number of years. Truth will always hurt us. But the true Bible important thing is that the truth, thou shalt know the truth, the truth shall set you free. Free in the sense that, yes, I fail in this, I fail in that. Lord, guide me through. Help me now. Give me wisdom. You know, preaching all these years not to put anybody down. Because my ministry is not only just to this fellowship here. It doesn't matter how many people are here. My ministry is to go out to another people who needs it overseas. You know, when we started this series on the talk and the walk, I received some email. I said, brother, I thank you so much. I never realized what I was reading the book of James. But now it helped me understand. And the sister said, now I'm trying to get my life right. You know, sometimes I guess we have so complacent about what we think we know, and that we just take it for granted. You know, that shouldn't be. And that's not what the Bible says. We need to be reminded. Okay, so let us continue going to it, and let us realize that we are here to understand God's word and help us to keep our foundation right in our walk with Christ. Okay, let's go to the book of James again, chapter 4 now. We're trying to finish up to chapter 5 in the middle part somewhere there. Verse 13 onwards. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. We stop there because the next portion should be another part of the verse rather. So go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Yeah, so, you know, one thing about us is many times we think we have a lot of time on this earth. Time maybe that we can spend to study hard, to have a, you know, and have a big career. And now that we have money, we have a secure job, maybe earning about $4,000 a month, perhaps, let's say that. And now let me buy a condominium. Let me buy a property, you know. And so you go buy a property, get a mortgage, and you go to the bank and they say, okay, this is so much you have to pay this and so many years, 30 years and all that thing. And you think that you are able to pay for all that, you know. So what happened after a few years and the economy goes boom? What happened? You know. So that's what Jim is trying to say. You are thinking about today, tomorrow we can do this, yeah, we can. We are thinking about the big things. We are thinking about what we can gain, what we can get. It's all about self-confidence. And that's one thing years ago when the Lord told me to talk to your brother. Don't put yourself and don't be too confident in yourself. If you want to let the Lord see you through in your work, put your confidence in the Lord. And that's how we all think, we all put our confidence in ourselves to do this. Is God in the thing that you want to do? You want to do a business? Go ahead. But make sure that God is with you. And don't think all about this. Ask God for the wisdom. Should I go into this? Could I buy extra equipment? And things like that. Don't just go rush into it. And think big. That because you have invested $100,000 this year, you're going to get maybe $2 million down the next 2 years. And things like that. You see. Let God be in it. So that's also why he said in verse 40, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? You don't. You know. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But we know who holds tomorrow. And we make sure that we are in his hand. In his will. You know, when I first, back in those days when God dealt with my life about ministry, and I was just starting to work, you know, and I find very troublesome because it you know, it goes into my conscience. I want to do my own, I want to be what I want to be. I keep on thinking about that, but I cannot get away from that going, you know. You keep on. Now, you want to go this direction, you know that God is putting you back. This is what I want you to do. And it's not a good feeling. I can really tell you, it's not a good feeling. And Elijah, what Elijah? Was it Elijah? They went away from Jezebel. Elijah. Huh? You see, you know that the thing is, all of a sudden, what to do now, you know? And at a certain time, we're human. We are Christian here, but we are human. At a certain time, we have this fear, this uncertainty. What's going to happen? It's very natural. But then we need to take a little breathe a little viscerally, gently, and you just meditate and ask the Lord. You know. There are times I want to tell you this because that is my own experience. I know that some of you have it. There are so much frustration that, you know, I just want to leave the ministry and just leave it. You know. How many times in my own room? There was one time, bang, bang the wall. I said, hammer the wall, pow, pow. You know. I said, Lord, I just don't want to. Let me go. There's too much of a thing to handle. I don't know what you're handling. But I cannot run away from God and say, okay, I go and I do my own thing. I know I get more trouble myself. So, happy is the man who is in the will of God. You know. And as the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. Verse 14b part. Alright? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanish away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. And to do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing, you see? Huh. So, what is your life? It is even a vapor. You know what a vapor is? I'm not talking about physics. No, vapor is a little whatever the gas, a certain just before it, what before it goes to that temperature of its state. You know, it, then it, this kind of funny little wavy, watery vapor coming out. Not steam, huh? But metered vapor nowadays is steam. Oh, that's vapor. We always take that as vapor. But it's not physics, it's not like that. So we can use that vapor just something, okay, it just come out, it disappeared. Okay, go to boiling water. The steam that came out, right? Some people call it vapor. Okay, that steam just come out and then disappear. So now the Bible says it is even as a vapor that appears for the time and vanish away. That's what your life is. I heard from Sister Wendy, her mother is 93 years old and still sprightly. You know? She said, wow, she could live until 120. But how many of us can live up to maybe 90 or 80? We don't know. Huh? In Africa, most people by the time they are 50 years old, a lot of problems. Because of their food they eat, because perhaps of their health environment. And many of them died around 60 years old. Very few lived 70 or 80. But what about you and me? Now I'm 60 years old, but Kati is 75. Look, he's still good. But we do not know what is our life like. Not just because we live a certain age, we die. We could just get up there and we can just die on the roadside. Collapse and things like that. That's what the doctor told him. You know, because he was coughing all these things, you know, brothers. It can actually cause a heart problem. Your heart goes into a fibrillation and you can collapse and die. That's why people, young people go into the National Assembly, they run for, how many, 4K? Is it 4K? They run jogging for 4K. Isn't it they do those National Service boys? 2x4. Okay. And some of them, they do not, well, you know, they are not athletic, they are never trained to, sometimes they say, oh, I can do it, and they start running. You know. And I did it one time when I was young. I never really practiced running or really jog all the time. So one day I started to run from Queenstown, Strathmore, where I was in the home, go all the way up to Tunning Road, Botanic Garden, Queensway, and came back for more than 4 kilometers. I ran all the way non-stop. You know what happened? I was better, okay, no problem. In the morning I get up, my leg, my car was burning hot. The acidosis was there. And I couldn't walk, I can tell you that the acidosis was burning in my calf. You know, you need to train. So those people do not run after that 2x4. And the heart started pumping, you know, the breath, and then the heart went up, and then it collapsed. That's why young people die like that. So how do you know when you're going to live? How long you, how old you're going to live before you die? Nobody knows. And this is wisdom to make us to realize. As long as we have a breath to live, let us live for God. As Christ as we can, we know how. Okay? For that which you ought to say, verse 15, if the Lord will, we will live, we'll do this, that, yeah. God, it be thy will. You know, Lord, you know, I pray that maybe next month I can have a vacation. I want to go to Japan. I pray that, you know, I want to go, I'm going to buy my ticket, but if there's anything that is not your will, you can stop me. We always have to be in God's will. Doing a lot of things, you know, you must be careful. Even like when you are having, like, son of brother, oh, I was telling the brother over there in Africa, you know that you have diabetes, be careful how you eat. I told brother Orsel, you know, just be careful about your carbohydrate, what you eat. You know, not that you cannot eat once in a while some nice food, but you need to be careful. You know that you have been eating too much, you need to cut it back and discipline yourself. You know, you don't have the hours, oh Lord, can I eat this? This is pure common sense. That you know that you are diabetic, you better keep yourself away from all this carbohydrate and sugar. You see. But other things that, oh, tomorrow, Lord, if there will be another day for me, let me be in thy will. You know, I will do this, that, as far, as long as you want me to do this and that. Not what I want to do. Alright, for now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. That is to say, oh, you know, I want to do this, that what we read in verse 13. Not today, tomorrow, I'm going to do this, I'm going to... All you want to gain. It's your boasting. And you know, brother, I'm going to invest in this very good investment, I was told. And things like that, and you start to think about that because you're going to get a lot of money. Huh? Especially today, be careful. A lot of scam. People have been cheated a lot of money. Alright, so that is evil boasting. Yeah. Anytime, you just go. Verse 17 now, it says here, therefore to him that know to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. Ah, that's a verse that we very popular, but never even think about it. For we all know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But what is sin? Pasha, missing the mark. Remember, I talk about the sin of Adam. This is not iniquity anyway. It is missing the mark. Not all sins are iniquity. Huh? Knowing to him to know to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. Wow. So how do you define sin in any way? You know, that video we're trying to show you, and the one we have seen before of the Japanese ambassador. And what about Schindler? Well, probably know so well about Schindler. Because in the movie Schindler's List, people heard about it. How many hundreds of people he saved? What about the Japanese ambassador? And what about, you know, the federal president, Kesson? There are many. And you know what they say? It is the right thing to do. Just because it is the right thing to do. And there are history over there in Poland, in Europe, in Austria, in Germany, and all these places during the Second World War. When Hitler went out there and started killing the Jews, there are a lot of families risked their life to hide the Jews, to save them. Do you think that you and me, in situations like this, would we do it? Or would we be afraid? Huh? Or when we, the husband, say to the wife, let us try to hide this. No, 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 the wife might say, you want our children to die? You want to die too if you are caught? The natural fear is there. I don't deny it. But those people who say don't Jew, not all of them are Christian, and yet they know it's the right thing to do. Huh? But we do. Knowing to do good and do it not, it is sin. You know, you can tell a whole lot about this sort of thing. Sin is something that is not conformed to the law of God. When God said to do this, do this, do this, we don't do it. Love your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Not the one next door to you, as I said. The word neighbor means anyone beside you. Anyone, whether in the bus or in the train, or the one who's sitting next to you in the office or in the classroom. Huh? Love your neighbor. It's hard to do, isn't it? We do it. And God said to knowing to do good and not doing it, it is sin. Wow, this is kind of very freaking, huh? But maybe we don't think about it. And the same thing with the church. Do we run away from the thing that we should know how to do to encourage one another in the church? As I said, no church is perfect. Sin comes into the church because of the weakness of a brother or a sister. And it's not a good thing when it happened. Some people are frustrated, they leave the church. And trying to encourage them to come back, they sin over because they're upset, they're gone. No. But there's not a way to solve your own spiritual life. For what? Because where would you belong to? We may have fictured with one another in the church. When you see the church not lively, what would you do? Now, I stand here many times, I sing this song. I try to sing a little louder. I try to get everybody to start up singing. Today, Bob, Henry did a good job getting everybody to sing. Some people, some song leader come up here, I mean, you know, doesn't know how to stir it up. That may be true. But not all people, not everyone who is leading a song has that gift or capability. But the rest of you, at least you need to help along to get one another to sing. You know, every one of us has his way of leading some. Brother John, Brother, you found, you know, Brother Jimmy, everyone has, because we are all different. We'll do all the best we can. The same thing with preachers. Some preachers are not alive. You know. So every one of us try to commit. That's what the Bible talks about. Edify one another. Exhort one another. With our testimony, with our singing. But don't complain that there's no life. Then you give it life. Then. Ask God to give it life. Through you. It's easy that we complain about things, but it's not going to work. Because what? You already find negative. When anything is negative to you, nothing will be positive. You see, you take a... When somebody serves you a plate of food, alright? Even though it's delicious, but the way it comes out and serves to you, like, terrible. You know what I mean? The image you perceive, you may think, oh, this don't taste good. But if a plate comes out well decorated, like the chef decoration, or you think that it's very nice, you put it in your mouth, it's bland. So what do you do? You need to do what you do. You need to do. If it's not this bland, add some sauce to it. What you can do? So the same thing, you know, what we do is make and encourage one another. That's the way it is. Unless we don't belong. And that is what the Bible is all about. You see? Why did, for example, he said, the important brother, my son was asking me about the, you know, in the Bible. Why did a woman must marry within his own tribe? Her own tribe. Why can't she marry somebody else, some other tribe? To keep it within the tribe, you know, so that the tribe would not shrink into smaller and all the other go marry into the other tribe. So what happened? This tribe no longer exists. So because God wants the people to be concerned that you are the body. So we share and exalt one another. We are part of that body. We have to conform to. Alright, so now when we look at this 17th verse, to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. Well, I didn't do anything, Leh. I didn't do anything, Leh. Well, how can I be sin? What do you mean? If you're walking down the road and you see a kid in front of you walking beside a man, and the man was just forgotten, maybe the father or grandfather, you know, was there with me and walking a little ahead, and the child started going out into the roadside. You know, maybe a 2-year-old kid or 3 years old, you know, or maybe a boy that dropped on me saying he wanted to chase after him. Then you see, what would you do? You would do a bus to yell or sort of run after the boy and take it off. Or just, I didn't do anything there, they talk accident, but I didn't do anything there. You didn't do anything there. So you know what, you didn't do anything, that's what happened. You could have done something. Or somebody fall into a drain. What would you do? There was some time when I was in Queenstown. You know that Queenstown Driving Center. You know that place, there is a gutter, a very deep gutter. One day I was walking home after visiting my mom in Chiang Mai, walking home to just Market Drive. And I saw people looking at the drain in front, you know. And they just look and they just walk away. So I went to the drain, so it was an Indian man that was drunk and he fell in there. And nobody helped him. I'm going to call the police. Because he's, you know, I can't drag him out because the drain was kind of
it's narrow, but deep. The Kaliyama Puriya Maika is heavy, you know, this Indian people, they drink a lot of Kaliyama. Some people don't care, just walk away. He's drunk, let him go in, let him stay in the drink. You see, what can we do? We do whatever we can. If we cannot call somebody to help, call the phone, or call somebody about somebody to drag him out, whatever we can do. It wasn't a night, of course, people walked by there, there are few people. So you see, the thing about it is, what do we do? What can we do? And not to do it when we can, it is sin. You know, just another thing like this. We come to church. What are we in the church for? Huh? Are we here to worship? Yeah. So we come to worship. Or we come here to fellowship? We fellowship. Is that not true? Okay. You know, Sunday there is a service. You don't want to come. You must have a reason why you don't come. Because to do the right thing is to come, because it's the Lord's day to come. So you need to come. But you don't want to come, you must have a service, you must have a valid excuse. That you have to give to God. A valid excuse why you don't come. Or if there we have a Friday service, and you know you can use to be come here is to fellowship and pray. You don't need to come. You need to have a valid excuse why you don't come. All of which you need to do good, do the right thing, and we don't do it, it is sin. And the song says, we are gathered together unto Him, to worship Him, to praise Him. We are gathered together to pray. We are gathered together to fellowship. We need to. And when we have it, we need to do it. And when the morning you get up, and you know, you should say, a little prayer, says, God, thank you for this day. Huh? And your heart says, yeah, they're not there, thank God. You not to do it, you ought to do it. You know, the problem is that when we don't do it, we later on we start backsliding away from prayer, from Bible study, from fellowship. We keep on going backwards. And your life as a Christian, remember, is a constant battle. Because up here, this is the battlefield. Up here, there's always the trouble starts up here. You get me? You're always thinking. It's up here. What I want to do, what I want to do, what I want to do. I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, I want to do this. No, it's all this battle that's going on, raging on inside. Alright. So, you know why we neglect the soul? You know why neglecting the soul, huh? You, when I look at you, and you're looking at me, we are here, we are feeding, our soul is feeding on the Word of God. That's our soul. We are not feeding this mind, just, oh yeah, you hear the Word, and that's it. No, we are feeding our soul. Alright? So if we neglect the soul, what happened? It is sin. That is true. If we neglect to eat every day and drink every day, what will happen to this body? You die. You're neglecting the body. Isn't it true? The body needs to be washed and showered and get clean. If not, what will happen to your skin? If you don't, you neglect the body. And it is sin. The Bible says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You see, everybody knows this Bible. It's a Bible. It's a Word of God. And yet, I don't know how many, even once when he said, we preach all the words of God. You know, once when he was, well, he was a good preacher, but of course he got some strange idea about certain things. But that should not be a problem. You know, just we have to take the Bible and see whether it's true or not. But people now are attacking him. People are attacking him and say, oh no, he's this, and he's this. He believed in partial rapture, and you know, and he wants to control the church, and everybody must believe only the pastor. Everything the pastor said must be believed, just like what the brother Mark would say, oh, everything the brother said must be believed. No. The Bible does not teach us that. Huh? Even Paul don't teach you that. He said, search the scripture. Jesus said that. And then this brother or wife, they search the scripture to see those things, if what I say will be true. Is that right? You are responsible to yourself, not neglecting your soul. That is how important that is. Chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. Go to now, you rich man, weep and howl for your misery that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupt, and your garments are moth eaten. Your gold and silver is canker, and the rust of them shall be a weakness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last day. You know, in this fellowship here, not everybody earns the same wages. Is that right? Not every Christian are equally rich. No. Some are rich. Some are richer. But some are poor. Some are even poorer. But in the situation that Jim was talking about, there are in these Jewish tribes, some of them are really rich. But of course, they never thought of thinking about what they do with the riches. So James wants to make them aware. All you think about is money. Money, material things, material talents, whatever you have. What is it going to do to you? Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now it's not that we cannot be rich. It is not that we cannot earn extra money. No. But what James is talking about, what Jesus is talking about, is you, in your life, all you think about is making money. All you think about is getting material things, material wealth. You know, there are people with all kinds of investment. In houses, in land, in overseas investment, this and that. Huh? People like Warren Buffett, this whole rich guy. Right? The investment here was sorrow. Just sorrow. Rich guy. People invest, all they think about is money. You know, people think about money and all this, the lifestyle that they will live. They want to be recognized. Many of these people who are rich are well known. They are known. Of course, you probably does not know some of the rich millionaires in Asia, right? You probably hear the name, but you don't recognize them, right? Maybe. You know them. Warren Buffett, we know, yeah, just so you know. You know. But to them, to them, you are nothing. In the common. Who do you think these rich people associate with? Who do you think? People like all these movie stars. Who do you think they associate with? They associate with all those rich people. Is that alright? And what do they party? You see, that's where the danger is. The rich people tend to be, they want to get all the wealth and all the talents and all the material things they were sowing among themselves. So what happened in the church? So this is the rich group here, one click, and here the poor and the neglected. There's nobody. How many of these rich people are willing to come down to the level of the common people? Jesus Christ, He was high up there. He's rich. Right? And He came down and He walked among men. Sit and eat among common men. Sit and eat and talk to prostitutes. And so they think that He is a sinner because He talked to prostitutes. What's wrong with talking to a prostitute? What's wrong with talking to a man who's gay? Nothing wrong with that. Huh? They're human. They are falling into sin, and that's into that level. Of course, if you know someone who is gay and your colleague, you talk to them. Of course, they'll give you the reason why you're gay. And if you can change them and give them the gospel, they accept you as save a life, save a soul. Isn't it true? But you see, the Bible tells us it's not that you cannot be reached. Look at the rich young man. I think it's Luke. Okay, let's go to Luke 18. Look at this rich young man, ruler. Has everything. Chapter 18 and verse 18 onward. Certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "What call thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. And thou knowest the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor the father and thy mother." And he said, "All these I have done, I have kept from my youth out." Now Jesus heard this thing and said to him, "You lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Not just rich, very rich. You see that? I mean, after all, it's so much riches, you know, it's very hard for people, because they are tied. They are tied to this thing. You know, the problem with me about things that I have, shirts like this that you see me wear, okay? When I was in the Philippines, the brother made it for me. Because a lot of things comfortable to wear. He said, "No, brother, this is a gift for you." Okay. But usually I don't buy new shirts. Years ago when out there in Margaret Drive, you have all these, charity for those who are mentally handicapped. Huh? They have a lot of this, well, not grassy, actually, like what we have here in this place of Yishun Methodist Church, they have all the second-hand goods. Those that I used to go and buy all the second-hand shirt and trousers. Some of them, pretty good condition. $2, $3. By the time when a lot of Filipinos come into work, my goodness, they all know where to find them. Well, I back up. I said, "They need it more than I do." But I had quite a good number of it. And I love and wear it. Until now, I'm still wearing it. And I would like to wear what you like. You will hardly see me find me wearing a new shirt or a new trousers. Because to me, all things are more precious to me. Because you don't want to keep it. Because it has a kind of feeling. But there are people know, throw out the old things and what are useful things. Get the new thing, everything, the latest thing, latest iPhone, iPhone 7, iPhone 9 is coming up in a couple of years. And they want one for that, and whatever comes up, they buy. They all want to throw away or sell out. So what is going on? Some people are so tied to their riches, and it's become a problem. Like this rich young ruler. Jesus said, "Yes, you have kept all the commandments, that is good. But one thing you like." Jesus was testing him. "So all you have, you follow me." Which is very difficult because why? The riches are there. It's not like somebody who is not very rich, maybe just common, normal. Jesus said, "Oh, like Matthew, follow me." He left the table, right? And he followed. Because there's nothing to hold him. Peter was a good fisherman, earning good money from day to day, good life. Jesus said, "Leave your net, follow me." Yes. But if you have wealth, you think you can leave that and follow? "Oh, no deal, man." You know, the people you say, "No deal, man." Because it's difficult. Because the thing holds you. These are the things that holds you. You build treasure on earth, and next moment you die. Or next moment you don't die, maybe you have a disease, and you know you're dying. You look at all your wealth. Multi-million dollars. Huh? Properties, investment. What are you going to do with it? Give it to your children? Spoil them? Oh yeah, of course. What is that? Jesus does say, "Don't lay up treasure on the earth. Lay it in heaven." Can we? see. Everything today when we invest in God, our life as a Christian, be a witness. Be a part of this reality. Getting close to the Lord. Encourage one another, building one another up. Spread and contribute to the outreach. You know. That's how important that really is. Okay? Alright, so this poor chap, you know, is really spiritually ruined by a lot of money. And you know, a lot of people don't have necessarily money, but the faith. What is the song? My pretty maid, where are you going, my pretty maid? What is your fortune, my pretty maid? My faith is my fortune, my pretty. What's the song? How did it go? What is your fortune, my pretty maid? Right? Then he said, she replied, my faith is my fortune. Sir, she said, remember that song? Yeah, you see, some people find, she's pretty. Good looking. You know, she can be just a dumb person. Don't have to study, leave the study. Go into the modeling field. Can make money, you know? Right now. Yes. And you want to go up higher in the model field, get to know someone who can put you there. And you pay a price, of course, with your beauty. So you see, that is the thing about material thing. What do you think? What do you treasure inside you? Well, the Lord have grace for us. Okay, let us go to verse 4 now. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your field, which is cut back by fraud, cried. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Now, this is simple. He's just speaking to the rich people. You have done fraud. You have employed people in your field, laborers to do for you. And yet, you didn't pay them. You cheat them. So it's the issue of the have and the have not in the church. How do you treat a brother? How do you treat a sister who don't have what you have? So let us now mistreat the less fortunate, so to speak. You know. Do our best we can. Not just among the brother and sister in the church, but even outside. Okay? You know, Watchman Nee, and his Chinese name is Nitoshin, I believe, Nitoshin. Now, there's one thing when I read one of his books, and I disagree with what he said about trading. He doesn't believe that a Christian businessman go and buy something that's worth $10, and then go into the marketplace and sell for 15. He said there is profiteering. But I was thinking, what's wrong with that? That's businessmen. You have to import them. Okay, you cannot just buy one thing and sell it. You usually buy it and, you know, in China, a whole lot of things that you can buy. Yeah, you can buy a lot of things. You must buy in the quantity of 100 or 1,000, and you might buy this thing $1 for just pay $1 for one of it. And you buy 1,000, it's $1,000. But when you come and sell, you sell $2 each. Because you're going to sell, you're going to work to sell. So that is not profiteering. You know what I'm saying? You see. You know, like for example, I ask your brother, please get something for me when you go to Japan or you go to New Zealand for a holiday. Can you get this something for me? And you know, when you buy the thing back, it's $20. Oh, I'm gonna, when you come by, you say, but again, this is $25. Now that is pure theory. Because, you know what I mean? You're doing somebody else, now you're charging me $5. Well, that's okay, but this is your profit theory. Businessmen means you're earning money. You're buying, you're selling, that is trading. But in those days, there's no, well, before money comes into play, that's all about that trading, right? Huh? You have a coat. Okay. And I say, okay, you want somebody's hat, maybe, you know, special. Okay, we trade. Okay. Okay, then you swap, you trade. That's okay. That's trade, that's bartering. Trade, it's fine. But now that people use money. So, I don't agree with that thing that you cannot make profit. Just buy and sell. So he said, it's not right. He bought just according to watchmen here. Now he has his opinion on that. Okay, so that's unequal. The world, nobody's equal. We are all not born equal. Huh? And that's one of the things. Some are born better looking. Some are born not so good looking. Some are born, say, I'm born in Singapore. I want to be born in America. So what, well, you have a choice? You have no choice. So we should be content where we are. And one thing, for example, I can tell you, how many of you would like to be born in Sudan? You don't want that. Iman, you don't want. It's surely you don't want to be born there. Why? Because that is not a good place. And you, if you ask the Sudanese or the Imanian, ask them, why would I be born? Hey, you're from Singapore. I love Singapore. What's Singapore good? I wish I was born there, man. Of course, they would do that, wouldn't they? You know, but we don't know where we are born because we don't know what line we're going to come through until we are born. Alright, next one we go on and verse 5 and 6. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your heart as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just and he do not resist you. Callous living. You live in pleasure on this earth. You just live your life callously. Live in pleasure. Just live it the way you want to live. And I find very sorrowful for those, especially young people. Huh? When you grow up, you go through a life of change. Right? No. We all went through. When you're young, then you go through it. 13, then we start to change, when we go into puberty, our body starts to rage, then we think about, having a girlfriend, we'll be okay, but having this career, so we grow up, and then we look at what people are doing, we see what people are doing, or, you know, you desire for the things. So you grow up, and then you got this age when you already got through your high school, and now you're going to work, so you start to have a lot of ideas of what you want to do. And then you slowly, if you're a Christian, if you're not careful, you surely will get pulled away into the world. You want to do what the world is doing. And then you all begin to mix with bad characters and you live a callous life. It's okay, they have a little drink and then you get drink and then you get drunk. And, you know, things like that go on. And what happened? You see, slowly you backslid away from God. Even you have been a Christian raised up in the church. And yet, when you are exposed to the outside, that's why you must be watchful. Even now, we are all, those of us are old. We say, we are 40, 50 years old now, okay, I've been a man, it's okay now, I'm old. But we still need to be very careful. Because the thing out there in the world, the spirit out there in the world can still draw us away. What is so important about the world? Because the thing that we have been taught, we have been raised up with, according to the word of God, those words will not fail us. Even we backslid. That's why I believe that those who are already backslid or backsliding. And I pray and I believe that the word of God will keep them and wake them up one day. I know when God chastised us, I remember the time when I was young, I can tell you back then I was only about 10, 11 years old, not even a Christian yet, you know, not even good. We're living out there in Queenstown. All those places are out there in Commonwealth, if you know where they are. They're still very scattered, no building, just houses here and there, a little farm here and there. You know what I used to do? I go out with friends and then go, adventure, of course, where do we go? Go adventure, of course, kids running around. What do we do? Go after those little bushes, try to get spider, and we see a little pond, go fish, we try to catch the fish. Even those fish have no value. Because it's just fun.
So I've been doing that, but one day I left home in the afternoon and I came back when the sun set. The moment I entered the door, well, I caught a few fish, but that's not worth it. The moment my mom opened the door, she was so furious to the cane, and I can tell you she was harassed him up. She started whack me, and then, oh my goodness. I ran under the table, the chair, bang, all over the place in the living room, trying to hide myself from her wrath. And she was whipping me anyhow, I just couldn't protect myself. Sure, I was there. My father was standing there, hold on, please don't. My father said, okay. My mom was furious. You know why? She's a mother. I didn't tell her I was gone. I was going up there. And they expect that I would come back after sunset. And she was wearing sick. And that chastisement remained. From that time on, wherever I go, I tell her where I go. And I would never make her worried. You see. So the same thing with us. We have left God. We backslidden all this. The one day God will chastise us in a way that when you come back, you remember. You know. The chastisement of God is not, you know, like the Bible says, not heavy that we cannot bear. My mother whacked me, yeah, you know, we are yelling like anything, and all this came back here. But you know what? After that pain is gone, then I start to cry. And then I realize, I'm sorry, Mom. Realize that I make my mother worry. You know, God is worried about your health too. Want us to be spiritually healthy. To walk with Him, to walk with Him, not to go this way and that way, the way we want to. How did God deal with Israel time and time again? Huh? And Israel rebellious ever so often. Until God said, that's enough, I'm going to separate from you for a little while. And let you go your way and see how it is like without me. And yet, even God let them go. Yet God is always watching over them. Only the God never speaks to them. And even about 300 years from the book of Malachi to the book of when John the Baptist came, 300 years of silence. No prophet was sent to Israel. 300 years! You think about it. So it's no good that God, that we don't speak to God and God don't speak to us. Sometimes we just don't speak to God. We don't care about God. Until when we are troubled with God. And then you say, God, please listen to me, please. You see, when we are in trouble, you ask God. And we expect Him to help us. Of course, God will help us. But here's the way of dealing with us to make us realize a high time. Because you know what, brother and sister? To me, this word of God is to keep us in the foundation, and also the light as a part of how we walk. Not just like any other how as a religion, as religious Christianity is going. That's the reason why this is given to us, not for the sake of I'm a Christian, I'm saved. That's okay, you're born again, saved, you know. But God is taking a people. Why? Look at all the Bible, look at what the Bible teaches. God is purging a people. Make her pure. Make her special. You see all the churches out there are really special because of what they believe in? Anyway, Madonna is here in Singapore holding a concert, and a lot of Christians will be going out there also to listen to that. Because the pastor says, it's up to you to make a choice. Because you know it's up to you to make a choice the way to go to this kind of concert. But if you have been taught right, there are certain things that we keep away, as the Bible says, keep away from all appearance of evil. Is that not right? But what do you want to go through this thing? Keep away from all the appearances of evil. You know, when I was a nurse at that time, back in the early days, first thing, when we go up there to Well, Chinese call Osai. You know the black lion is Milton Hospital? Because there's a black lion statue. Milton Hospital, it's Tobago home. Tobago Hospital. You know where all of the skin disease, the hospital is dealing with skin disease. So in other words, there is a clinic there where people who have skin problems go there. So when we were sent there to work, you know, there is a regime that all those prostitutes must come and have a regular checkup that they do not have venereal disease. Now, they want to cut or something, they don't turn up. You know what? So we have to go to all those places, you know, Daska Road, Daxon Street, and all those places where you see those prostitutes, those dens there. And you know, you cannot miss it because the high put wear and hanging all day is a red lantern. And you know that's a prostitute then. You know? So I feel uncomfortable going there, you know. You know what I mean? To go and check on this brother, hey, you need not go. So of course we went 2x2, I went with us. You understand what I mean? That's a place where, you know, prostitution is offered there. You see. But the Bible tells us this. We keep away from all appearance of evil. So we need to do that. Alright? So this is careless living, you know, and so we don't want to be like that. First of all, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. And we want to close off with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 15. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man lay upon his foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. When people have pleasure living a careless life, they have no time for God. Or little time for God. They don't read the scripture, they don't pray, they don't go to church. Sunday, they don't go to church. Friday, they just leave everything be, they do whatever they want. You see here, in this verse here, verse 5, the middle part, the middle sentence, the second sentence, you have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ha! What does it mean here? You have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanting to live callously. You have nourished your heart as in a day of slaughter. You know what pleasure living or callous living is all about? It's like a farmer who had cows. And what do you do to the cows? We know that he's going to sell them. He's going to go and sell this cow and get into the slaughterhouse to sell his body parts. So a week or two before the cow is going to be sent to the slaughter, feed him, feed him, feed him. No, you heard about that? Huh? Yes. The more you feed the cow, the bigger, 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 bigger. And ready for the slaughter. And that's what James is talking about. You live carelessly, you live in pleasure, you are feeding your soul for the day of slaughter. So what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians? If you don't lay your foundation right, if you don't build upon the foundation right, worthless, because your life is just living in pleasure, callousness. If it's just like wood and stubble and hay, cannot withstand the fire, but your soul be saved. Let me say it. The thing about this, is it not true that if we are not prepared for the coming of the Lord, We are surrounded with the word of the Lord, as far as doctrine is concerned, as far as our character of how we live the life is concerned, because we are going to be taken out. Is that right? For those who live carelessly, oh, they are not going to. You can't be prepared. How can you be prepared for the rapture when you are living a callous life and a life of pleasure? You call yourself a Christian and you expect to go on in the rapture when you live that kind of life. What is going to happen? You go out there into the slaughterhouse in the millennium, into the tribulation. There! See whether you'll be burned out. If you die, yes, so be saved. Huh? Because it would not make sense for Paul to say about how you build upon the foundation. What foundation is he talking about? You are the body of Christ. It is built upon the foundation of Christ, the Word of God. So if you are not building on it, and it is like burned, then how can you say that I'm going to make the rapture? The foolish virgin lived carelessly. Oh, we don't need the oil. That's all, that's enough. How much oil do you think it's enough for you to go from a journey all the way to Mount Zion? You think the little vessel of lamb of oil, it's enough? You know, it's a long journey. And you need all to fill up this lamb with oil. And how do you fill it up? Here is the vessel that the wise carry with them. Huh? Only the Lord can give you the oil from here and constantly fill your vessel, this lamb. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just because you heard the Bible and gospel of Jesus Christ and you receive the Holy Spirit and you're born again, that's enough.
No.
And just because you heard the message, oh, God sent a prophet and all these things, I believe and I'm going to make the rapture. You think that's enough? That his message is a portion of what it is in the Bible. Because Paul said, we know in part, we preach in part. And Barabbas Abraham said the same thing. That which I don't require, God give to somebody else. That's why he sent a fivefold ministry. That's why he sent a ministry. To get the bride to see, to stand the word, keep on growing in the word. This is what guides us, feeding up our lamb. This is the lamb. Our whole human body, the soul and the spirit here is the lamb, which needs to be lighted up with the word of God, and the oil must keep on flowing. You see? And that's what I'm saying. What is the churches out there? How are they in the truth? Are they really given truth, ready for the coming of the Lord? No. We just close here and we continue to rest next Sunday. Heavenly Father, blessed, O Lord, be thy holy name. And bless thy word, O Father. May you give us, O Lord, the strength, the nourishment, Father, for that. That on this pilgrimage, O Lord, that we're walking, they will reach the place. From Mount Zion. You have revealed, O Lord, to your people, Israel. But all these tribes of people that you have chosen, many, O Lord, have not seen the truth. They are caught up, Father, in their own way, and they walk in their own light, away from your word, away from your law. Likewise too, Father, those that are in the Church of Christ. And we know, Father, Lord, that not all will see the truth. Even though they claim the truth, Father, they walk in their own opinion. We pray, Father, that truly whatever you have shown us in the Holy Word, that Lord, we keep in our heart, Father, that we not sin against thee, that we continue, Father, to walk in the light as you are in the light, Father. And that we will have fellowship one with another. And that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. How precious, O Lord, is the blood of Christ. How precious is thy word, O Lord of truth. And we ask for your grace today. That all that we have heard, Father, we keep in our heart. And continue, O Lord, to really live the life. Because, Lord, we know there's not much time left. But I venture, Lord, that everything according to what we have learned, that, Lord, truly in the next 2 years or so, this world, O Lord, will truly plunge into a chaotic state. And to see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us to be ready for all things now. We ask that you bless this as you close in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.